Such a joy to hear that and be a part of singing that uplifting song. God is a good God, amen. Glad that we can benefit, that we can be saved by His grace and all that He's done for us. I want to thank you for having me here tonight and allow me to come and share with you the good things that are going on with the inner city mission work. I want to thank you for your love and support of that work and your involvement. I talk to a lot of people about what's going on in Mobile with the inner city, and I'm proud to always mention Creekwood and their involvement with us and y'all's loving support. And it's just amazing the things that God is accomplishing through us and in the inner city. I want you to know that we're looking this year at 20 years of being in existence. I wasn't in Mobile 20 years ago when the buses first rolled out and started picking up children for Bible school. And I was actually in Nashville with the inner city work there. And I remember all the talk and the buzz going on, and everybody was talking about, hey, we're going to Mobile, and there was other cities included. We're going to Pensacola, and we're starting to work in Chattanooga, and the list just continued to grow. And finally, I arrived here in 2000, and many of you know, I worked with Bill Draper, and then in 2009... I left for a year to continue in my education at Heritage Christian University, and I came back after Bill Draper resigned, and the brothers asked me to come back in 2010, and of course we're at a new location on the corner of Mohawk and Government Street. We used to meet in the old Government Street Church building in the Oakley District, but the wheels of ministry are still rolling. And I'm thankful for all the good Christians, the love and the support that we get that allows us to continue to do that. I will ask that you continue to keep me in your prayers, not only for the sake of the work, but for the sake of my health. I have very stylish post-op shoes on both of my feet tonight because I've had surgery on my feet. I've had some bone infection, and I've also had an abscess wound on another foot, and the infection's gone, but the wounds are still there healing. And being diabetic, as some of you may know, or you have family members that are diabetic, it's a slow process. So I still continue to go see the wound care doctor and get treated for that. But please keep me in your prayers. I've been blessed to have a lot of good people to help me make sure that the ministry continues. I'll make sure I get this gadget right. I have. I don't use PowerPoint often, but I like to use it when it's available. I'm waiting, by the way. I see this picture of Eric standing there like the Vanna White does on the Wheel of Fortune, sort of. And he's not here tonight for me to tease him, but maybe we should have a contest where people can send in their suggestions for a caption for that picture and turn it into a poster, because I think it's great. It's like he's almost welcoming everybody to come and ride on the 7 to 9 year old bus on Tuesday night. But I just love that picture. And of course, in the inner city mission work here in Mobile, this is a picture or a collage of pictures from our last appreciation dinner that we had at the Regency congregation this last August. And there's about 100 Christians from area congregations that are involved with the Mobile Inner City Mission work. And those 100 Christians come from my last count. Sometimes it's hard to count where everybody comes from, but my last count from 11 area congregations between Baldwin County and Mobile County. We have some people who travel as far away as Gulf Shores on Tuesday night to come and be involved with us with our Bible school. and people who travel from Bay Minette and Theodore and Sims, all to take part in this. And we're blessed to have such a wonderful number of co-workers in the field. I'm reminded often that when I see this picture that the Apostle Paul had about 100 people that were working with him in one capacity or another, whether they were delivering letters or helping to, giving him reports with the churches or helping him preach. He had quite an army with him, and we're blessed to have the same here. The inner city mission work. What is the inner city mission work? Let's just briefly put a definition to it, or help us to understand an idea of what we're talking about when we talk about the inner city mission work. And I'll start with what we're not, because what we're not sometimes conflicts with a perception that I think a lot of people have of inner city works throughout the United States. So we're not like all other inner city works, and there's some that we're very much alike as far as the model that we use and the mission strategy that we use here in Mobile. But what we're not, believe it or not, is we're not a children's ministry. Now, I know we have a children's Bible school for kids in the housing projects, ages 3 to 13, and we run those buses 8 months out of the year. What do you mean, Chuck, you're not a children's ministry? We're not a children's ministry. Children are a big part of what we do, and if we ever get to, you and I ever sit down at Starbucks one night, and I'll let you buy the coffee and the shots of espresso, but I'll go into a long discussion about how the Bible school ministry is a very important part of our mission strategy, because it is. But it doesn't really characterize what the inner city mission work is by itself. We're not a benevolence ministry. We use what I call aggressive benevolence. We have clothing giveaways. Matter of fact, your young people have come out in the neighborhood during the summer months with Eric and have participated and you've been a part of a clothing drive for us. It's been a tremendous help. We've had Mobile Christian gives us canned goods every year, every fall, and we benefit from the work benefits from that donation. And we have a once a month grocery giveaway where we pick up adults in the community and we take them to get a sack of groceries at the Regency congregation and take them back to the inner city church building. And we'll have Bible study with about 30 adults from the inner city community and take them home, and we've had a great time. And we do work with needy population, but we're not a benevolence ministry. Benevolence is an important part of what we do, but that by itself doesn't characterize who or what we are. We're not a bus ministry. Now, if the first two didn't surprise you, this one might. Because even though we have buses and they are the workhorse of the mission work that we do, we're not a bus ministry. They're an important, again, just like the other, the children and the benevolence, the buses are a very important part of what we do. But by themselves, they don't characterize accurately what the inner city mission work is. So what is the inner city mission work? First of all, it's a mission field. And it's probably one of the, in the United States at large, not just here in Mobile, but across the board, it is perhaps one of the most untapped mission fields there is that's within our reach. And it's quite accessible, by the way. It's not hard, believe it or not, it's not hard to go into the inner city and start a mission work. Matter of fact, I had some of you know the brethren from Cox Boulevard in Sheffield, Alabama, who came to do a Back to the Bible campaign with the Creekwood congregation. Is that right, David? They did. And they came and did one with the inner city congregation. You know what they told me about the inner city culture? They said, Chuck, percentage-wise, they had more response from their door hangers and their door knocking than they've had in any other segment of our society. They had more Bible studies based on the number of contacts they made, percentage-wise, than they've had in any other segment of our society where they've done the Back to the Bible campaign. And that week, I believe they were here, we had like 12 baptisms. But they had numerous Bible studies, and I had plenty of good follow-up work to do after that. And we still see the benefits of that today, the work that they did. But we're definitely, in America, there are approximately 60 million people living in the inner cities of America. I was teaching a missions class at Heritage. Jeremy Barrier asked me to come and speak at those classes over the years and is preparing for missions class. And his brother, Jamie, was there. And Jamie was sort of sitting in the class that day. He's already graduated, but he wanted to hear what I had to say. And when I mentioned that there were 60 million people living in the inner cities of America, he says, "Wow." He says, "That's the size of Burma." And I'm sitting there listening to him, and I said, "Well, elaborate to the class, Jamie, what you mean by that." And he says, "That's the size of a small nation." He and his family, I don't know how many of you know Wayne Barrier, but Wayne is, and his family have done a lot of wonderful work in the mission fields in the Philippines, India, Vietnam, Burma. And Jamie obviously had been touched by his mission experience in Burma, but what we have here in the inner cities of America amounts to a small nation. And you wouldn't believe it is so accessible to us, especially here in Mobile. We've been around 20 years. If you want to go to a mission field, we've got one for you. And it is a wonderful mission opportunity. Not just for individuals, not just for single people, not just for youth, but for senior saints and families as well. We have I'll get to this more in a minute, but we've had some growth with our Bible school where we've added another night where we're running on Thursday nights now, not just Tuesdays. And we're across the street. Tuesday night is R.V. Taylor. It's, if you know where Michigan Avenue is, as you're headed from... You know, they're about where Duval Street intersects with it. You have R.V. Taylor, and across the street you have a community called Birdsville. And so we've started picking up in Birdsville, kids in Birdsville, and two more congregations have gotten involved. They've taken an opportunity with that. And there's all sorts of opportunities, but on the 3 to 6 year old bus, I'm sorry, the 7 to 9 year old bus, there's a family from the university congregation, mom, dad, teenage daughter, middle school age son. They come and ride on the bus on Thursday night, and they help pick up children and take them to the learning center. So it's even an experience that the family can you talk about spending quality time as a family. I can't think of a better way to do that than serving God and reaching out to others and teaching our children to do the same. You know, I've said recently that we show our children how to make good grades, and we encourage them to make good grades, and we get on to them to make their bed, and we want them to make the team, make the cut. But we also want them to learn how to make disciples, amen. And what a wonderful way to do that, by showing them how we're reaching out to people in the inner city. This work also comes with a missionary, and that's me. Don't know whether you realize, whether it's dawned on you or not, but my support comes from several different sources. But people support me as a missionary. The inner city church is not able to sustain my livelihood for me and my wife Jane and our son Edward. They're back in the nursery, by the way. Edward's 19 months now. He's quite a handful. So y'all's nursery tonight is a blessing. But I hear, Jane, if you can hear me, I understand there's a speaker back there now. So she can hear me talking about her, probably embarrassed. Y'all go make fun of her after we get out of here. But we also have a church plant. It's a mission church. When you think about mission works that are going on over in foreign countries, and you realize that that work has bore some fruit, that there's a mission church there, a mission church that's in need of an evangelist and a missionary team to help organize it, to help develop its leadership and teach basic principles to the new members that hopefully are being baptized through the outreach that's being done in the community. Same thing with the inner city. Difference is it's here, right here in town. Sometimes the inner city culture can be like a foreign community to us too. But all the opportunities there, and what's great again, is it within our reach. Jane and I love being a part of this mission work. I've had some people say to me over the years, they'll refer to it as Chuck's work or Chuck's calls or whatever it may be. It's not my calls. My passion and desire, yes. A work that I'm involved with as a missionary, absolutely. But it's the cause of Christ, Luke 19:10, where he says he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if that's the cause of Christ, then it's not my cause. It's our cause. It's our work that we're involved in the Lord's work. So what's happening with the inner city mission work? Well, there's a lot of good things that are happening. As I mentioned earlier, we have two nights of Bible school. Spanish Fort is now providing a bus team and a learning center team for kids ages 3 to 9 from the Birdsville community on Thursday night. 3 to 6. They got the 3 to 6-year-olds. The 7 to 9-year-olds are riding on a bus team from the University Church of Christ, and they're going to the University Church building. It's quite a haul. We really got to... I don't think the drivers speed there, but they do take care of things expeditiously, we'll say that. And they want to get there in time, but they have a wonderful time. And you know what? The university congregation is elated. They see the excitement in them, and as well as Spanish Fort. Polly Parrish used to be the Learning Center coordinator years ago when we brought kids to the Spanish Fort congregation, and she's got everybody back involved again, and it's just a lot of excitement going on there, and it's so wonderful to see that. Which means now, and the growth in the new community's been slow as far as the numerical growth, but this last week, between two age groups, they picked up 34 children. They had a bump in their attendance. We had 84 kids from RV Taylor, which means this last week we taught well over 100 children Bible school this week. We're still lacking a 10 to 13 year old bus and a 10 to 13 bus team and learning center team, 10 to 13 year olds on Thursday night. We also have Family Matters. We were blessed to have David and Eric, both of your ministers, came and shared with members of the inner city congregation. One of the things as a missionary, one of the areas that I work in and with the inner city work is in the development of the inner city congregation. If you remember, Paul told Titus to set things in order and to appoint elders in every city. The evangelist plays an important role not only in the development of the work, but also in the development of the congregation. And things like establishing leadership. But with the inner city culture and the home being as broken as it is, sometimes you just have to start with laying down some building blocks and trying to acquaint people of the inner city culture with Christian family dynamics, something that's foreign to them, where most homes are, you're looking at a matriarchal society, and where it's a single parent home and the head of the household is a single mother, and the children are growing up, and for the most part, many of the kids that ride on our bus can't tell you right now, can't tell you where their father is. They may have met him before, but they can't tell you where he is. And some of them don't even know who he is. Never have met him. So the family is broken. And so I thought, well, how can I address this issue? And Jane taught me something important. She's a school teacher. You know, she got a bachelor's degree and were certified to teach preschool through third grade. And she says, Chuck, she's told me before why they do things in Sunday school class with the earlier ages. Because, you know, I'm trying to figure out what kids, you know, preschool age are retaining. And she says, well, what you have to start doing is laying down building blocks. Well, I use the same principle with the inner city culture group when it comes to Christian family dynamics. So I've asked brothers from the area congregations, such as David and Eric and Marshall Underwood and Ricky Butts has come and spoke before our people in our Family Matters ministry. And that's something that y'all can pray about. It's important because I'm hoping to reestablish the Christian home. Our families need that foundation. We also have Gear Up Youth Ministry. One of the things that young people struggle with is having an identity. And I think that when you add some structure to your youth ministry, and Gear Up does that. What Gear Up is, it's a youth ministry that takes our young people ages 10 to 17, and it involves them in community service projects. They may go visit a nursing home, or they may get with a volunteer organization in town and rake leaves or stack canned goods or, you know, work with debris. And it's been a real good tool in helping our young people to develop some leadership skills, because what the adults do that work with the Gear Up Ministry do is they have our young people, they've taken them now and they're starting to use some of our older teenagers, for example, to plan events and activities. Of course, they're there to supervise them. But they say, okay, we need to do some community service projects this month. And now we're saying to our youth, but you plan that. And that means they have to network with community organizations and network with other congregations of the Churches of Christ and other Christians in the area to accomplish those tasks. And it's just teaching them all sorts of wonderful skills. Skills that hopefully they'll need one day when it comes to getting an education and establishing a career, right? Also with being pillars and leaders in their congregation, wherever they may be, whether it's at inner city or, who knows, here at Creekwood. But being an important part of that system. We have Boost Life Management Skills Ministry. Some of you have seen me putting notices on Facebook. I know, for example, Rachel Myers is involved with that and others from other area congregations as well as the inner city congregation. But it's a mentoring program for inner city teens and young adults. The idea is that some of these young people who've come from these broken homes are also missing out on some important skills. Ephesians 4:28 comes to mind. Those of you used to steal, steal no more. Work with your hands so that you can do what? Give to those who are in need. And so teaching them, you know, I say to my young people all the time, especially those that have obeyed the gospel that are in our midst, I say to them, a changed life is a productive life. That's not just true for them, it's true for all of us. There's evidence of that in the Bible, that once God has changed our life with the gospel of Jesus Christ and those sins have been washed away, we start bearing some fruit. And so what I've done is I've lined them up with some mentors that can help them make goals and start seeing some of that fruit in their life. I've had so many young people tell me things like, and I'm talking about young adults and inner city young adults and teenagers, tell me they feel like sometimes they're just spinning their wheels. When really all it is they don't have the skills that many of us, you and I, take for granted every day. I mean, for example, the man that taught me how to shave is also the same man who taught me how to drive, and that's my father. But when some of our kids are growing up in a home, and the inner city culture is transitional, it's constantly, they're constantly moving and changing. Matter of fact, some of our kids won't ever tell you where they live. Listen to what they say. They'll tell you where they stay. This week, they're staying with grandma. Next week, they might be staying with their mom. But I've never, to my recollection, when I've asked an inner city child where they live, they've never told me where they live. They never worded it that way. They always will tell me where they stay. I stay at here and I stay here. It's interesting. It kind of helps you understand what their life is like. So Boost Life Management Skills Ministry is a new ministry that we started. And I think it's going great for something that just started. It's something that we're going to have to learn some lessons along the way with. But let me tell you about it. If you're talking about a mission opportunity, I want to present this idea to you real quick, this proposal to you. If you're a professional, you're a faithful Christian who's a professional, and you have some life experience, or you've gotten your education, or you have a career, family, all those. You don't have to be a family person. Rachel's a single young lady, but she's a professional, and she's made some goals, and she's accomplished some things, and now she's sharing this with somebody else. It's one-on-one mentoring. That's something that you'd like to do, in a minute you're going to see a slide on here with my email address and my phone number. I want you to call me or send me an email and say, Chuck, I'm interested in being a mentor for an inner-city teen or young adult. And I'll train you. I'll teach you about the inner city culture and teach you about what we're doing. And basically, you're helping young people make goals, pursue goals, and achieve them. I call it a MAP. MAP stands for My Action Plan. And you help our young people make a map and navigate that map. You know, I ask my young men sometimes. I'll say, "What are you doing 5 years from now?" And sometimes I get one of those looks like a deer caught in the headlights. You know, they don't have the slightest clue how to answer that question. What are you doing 5 years from now? I asked one young man that question a couple of years ago. He was 19 at the time. And he said, Chuck, he says, I can't tell you what I'm doing 5 years from now. I can't tell you what I'm doing tomorrow. He was just being honest. He had no idea where his future was headed. Hadn't the slightest clue. And I think the reason why I'm telling you this is to let you know that you and I are needed. We really are needed to fill a void in people's lives. And what better way to do that than to bring them the Word of God and our Christian influence and share with them the hope that we have. What an opportunity. So if you can't handle being on a bus with a bunch of noisy kids, I've reduced it now to working with one person. I'm trying to make this as inviting as I can. But if you think you'd like to be a mentor to an inner city teen or young adult, get in touch with me and be a part of Boost. We have ladies ministry going on. Frances Pierce, who's been with us for about 20 years, who's from Bay Minette, has decided to take the wheel, if you will. She does things with our ladies and has Bible studies. And I know Frances, if any of you ladies would like to get involved with that, Frances would love to hear from you. Again, let me know. There's all sorts of opportunities. We have Inner City Week at Gulf Coast Bible Camp. We've been blessed this year and last year to have the Florence Boulevard congregation, the Chisholm Hills congregation, and the Sherrod Avenue congregation in Florence, Alabama, fund and staff our week at camp, so the only thing I have to focus on is spiritual development. That means I have the mentors that show up to work with our kids at camp, and they do the activity staff and the kitchen staff and nurse and lifeguard and all that, and I develop the Bible study and the lesson plans, and it's been such a blessing, but we've had a wonderful time. We also have visit, as you know very well, because they use your facility almost every spring and summer, but we still continue to have visiting groups. I'm already getting phone calls from youth ministers wanting me to put them on the schedule for next year. This work is such a blessing to other congregations in our brotherhood, and I can't think of a group more specifically that can be thanked for that than the Creekwood congregation, because of y'all's, and you house a lot of campaign groups that come into town. Some of them stay at university in their student center, and some have stayed at the Azalea City multi-purpose center. But had one congregation come down, Wood Avenue in Florence, and they weren't your typical campaign group that came to visit with us. They had their elders and their deacons and their wives came. They had a few youth, but they wanted to come down here and see what, now, and listen to how I word this now, what we're doing. When I say what we're doing, I'm talking about you and I. What we're doing in the inner city of Mobile, because they're right across, where they're located in Florence, Alabama, they're right across the tracks from an inner city community. And the elders have said, you know, we can't continue to ignore that. We need to reach out to that community. And the Wood Avenue congregation, for the most part, is the dynamics of that congregation is much like Creekwood or Regency or Azalea City. But right down the street from them is an inner city neighborhood. And they said, Chuck, we want to reach that community. So we're a blessing to other people. That's what I'm trying to get across to you with that. This work is. So we got a lot of good things. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm working hard to try to organize and continue to organize and develop the inner city congregation. There is a cycle of hopelessness that we see in the inner city. Hopelessness and pain and hurt and anger and rage and violence and death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death where people are separated from God because of sin. But what I love about our Bible school is a great example of this, by the way, is we have a work that interrupts that cycle and helps bring hope into people's lives. That picture I have of that young lady right there, you may be looking at her and, you know, she looks angry. She's been crying, and she's angry. That she rides on the bus that Eric and your youth ride on Tuesday nights, by the way. And who's that sitting next to her? That's Kathy Hall. Many of you know Kathy. Kathy's been with us about 20 years. But Kathy's filling a void in that young girl's life on that bus. She's playing the role of a caring parent. She's not her parent, but she's playing that role. She's giving her the love and the discipline that she needs to make it through that night. This little girl here on this bus needs Kathy. Needs Kathy to break that cycle that's at work in her life. It may sound strange when I have this little girl up here, but about 10 years ago, and I want to wrap this up soon, which is, I see I'm starting to run short on time, But about 10 years ago, I was with a campaign group in the Orange Grove community. And we had been canvassing on a Wednesday afternoon and encouraging people to come to Wednesday night service with the Inner City Church. It's back when we were at the Government Street Church building. And Orange Grove's it's been shut down. It's turned into a different kind of community now with different kind of housing. It's not housing projects anymore. But Orange Grove was perhaps the largest housing projects in Mobile at one time. And I was with a group from Hamilton, Alabama. And we had stopped and taken a break to go to Wendy's and get a quick bite to eat because we knew we needed to load up on those buses and go back out there and pick people up for Wednesday night class. Well, in the hour or so that we were gone, we came back in the bus and in the community on the bus to pick people up for Wednesday night class, and there were police officers everywhere. Crowds of people were standing all over the place. And during the hour that we were gone in the area where we had been canvassing, a 15-year-old girl had walked up to a 19-year-old boy with a .357 Magnum and shot him at point-blank range in the back of the head. She was in this cycle of hopelessness. She was angry. She was mad. And she didn't have the coping skills and the ability to resolve the conflict without acting like she was on the Jerry Springer show. The difference is this girl had a gun. Don't know how she got it. One thing that I took note of, sadly, and maybe this tells us we might have been able to have made a difference. But this 15-year-old girl that committed that act had never once rode on our church bus. I believe we're making a difference in people's lives, and I wish that we could reach all of them. Sometimes some of them fall through the cracks, and we don't get them all. But I'm glad to see that Bible school and the mission work is continuing to grow. That kid is smiling for a reason. It's not just because he's with Jane, but he loves that church bus. And by the way, she's got a CDL. We had a CDL class recently. With the growth in our Bible school, I need people who have commercial driver's licenses. You need a Class B with a P endorsement because we have diesel engine school buses, but I need bus drivers. I need somebody who will come on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night and drive a church bus. I need you down at the Inner City Church building at 6 o'clock, and you'd be done by 8:30. But if you have a CDL, Class B CDL with a P endorsement, we'll be glad to put you on our insurance so you can drive a bus. Or the next time we have a class come up, let me know and I'll get you on the roll. But and our youth in the area have played a big part in this, and I'm so proud of y'all's youth group for being a part of this and the adults that support them in that and coming down and being supportive of Eric and the work he's doing and the families that have come. These two young ladies, I have them in here because these are the ones that come from Gulf Shores. This is Teresa and Tara Denny. Tara emailed me recently. She's not here in the area anymore. Tara is at UAB in Birmingham. And she emailed me, are you ready for this? She wanted to know if I knew of an inner city work going on in Birmingham. She loved it so much while she was here, she wanted to continue in that work. This is our group of young people that went to camp this summer. We have approximately 30, this isn't the whole group, but we have approximately 35 young people between the ages of 10 to 17. We don't have a youth minister, but we definitely have youth ministry. We definitely have that. I want to read this passage to you. And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." And that's my constant prayer. We need you. And we have a place for you to come and serve in this mission work. You may not be able to pack your bags and head off to India or other destinations in foreign lands to serve with your family in a mission field. But there's one right here in Mobile. And as Eric has pointed out, I think he's got the mileage down. It's like 12 miles from the Creekwood Church building to the inner city. if my recollection's right. And he's right. Just 12 miles from where you are right now is a mission field that needs you. There's people that need you. Here's a question that I'm going to be asking people, area Christians, a lot more. And that is, what do you want for your local inner city mission work? Now, I want to remind you of something. I'm one of these ministers that turns almost every occasion into a teachable moment. And I welcome it. And I'm not saying that to intimidate anybody, but if you think of an answer to that question, I want you to contact me because I'm interested in hearing from you. My information's up there, my email address, chuck@micc.org, 583-0836. Give me a call. But what would you like to see for your local inner city mission work? What would you like to see happen with it? What kind of things would you like to see it accomplish and do? I like that picture because what that picture is about people. You know, this picture back here, you know, that's a good picture. It's a building. And we struggle with our infrastructure all the time. The magnitude of our ministry is there's a lot to keep up. It's high maintenance. Not going to lie to you. But that picture I like a lot better. And that's what I want to try to stay focused on as people. And I want to ask that you do the same. Pray for us. Pray for the work. And then, like I said, if you want to get involved, just let me know. I'm sorry. I know I've gone over a little over time. But thank you for allowing me to come and share with you this evening. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, you need prayer. I know this congregation is here waiting for you in open arms. Won't you consider what the Lord has for you as we stand and sing?